Our gospel reading today happens at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right after he's baptized. As you'll recall, when he goes down and then comes up from the Jordan River, the heavens open, and the Spirit of God descends on him as a dove. And God's voice booms out of the heavens, saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." That's a spiritual high if I ever heard one. The lights, the sounds, the affirmation, even the voice of God. Jesus' public ministry is launched with a bang, and he's full up with the Holy Spirit. But then, immediately on his return from the Jordan, he's sent into the desert for 40 days. There he's tempted by the devil, 40 days in the wilderness without food, without companionship, without relief. And at the end of those 40 days, when he's at his weakest, his most hungry, when his reserves are gone and his own strength is gone, then the devil shows up with these three temptations. "If you really are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And the devil says, "I will give all this authority to you over all the kingdoms of the world, if only you will worship me." And finally, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple, because God will command his angels to protect you." Three temptations that say, use your power for yourself. Use your power to fill your own hungry belly. It doesn't matter. No one's around to see it. Just turn this stone into bread. In other words, just make being human a show. But if you don't have to make it hard on yourself. And maybe the ends justify the means. You can have the whole world right now without all the messy stuff. No suffering, no crucifixion. Just bow down here and it's yours. And you have all God's power on your side. Do what you want. You're untouchable. You can do anything. It's no accident that this first Sunday of Lent starts out in the wilderness. The wilderness is a huge Christian symbol. This temptation of Jesus is one of our foundational stories. It echoes directly the story of God's people wandering through the desert after they escaped captivity in Egypt, another foundational story. In a way, we relive it every Lent. The 40 days of Lent are a wilderness that we choose. It's actually 46, but Sundays aren't counted in. Every year, we cycle through the wilderness for 6 long weeks. It's a wilderness that we enter with our consent. But there are other wildernesses as well. Pilgrimages, for example, are wilderness experiences, times of stripping down and letting go. You might say that disciplines of prayer are mini wildernesses when we set other things aside and create space for God. There are also wildernesses we enter because that's just where life takes us. I'm thinking of the story of Thérèse of Lisieux, whom we now recognize as a saint. She entered religious life as a nun at 15 and died from tuberculosis in 1897 when she was only 24. But in those last 18 months, she suffered through a painful period of doubt and spiritual darkness. We might say a wilderness. Another Teresa, Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, described in her letters a wilderness experience that lasted almost 50 years. Or for Saint Francis of Assisi in the 13th century, the wilderness came when he was taken captive during a military campaign and came down with a serious illness. I'm also thinking of people with their own serious illnesses and at times of grief and hardship. Times when we come to the end of our own strength. Times when we're called to loosen our grips around what we thought was important. Times when we're left with nothing of ourselves to rely on. And in those times, this story is for us. Where we can reach back and find those wilderness stories and know the truth of what Hebrews 4 tells us. That we have a great high priest who has in every respect been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And know that we're not alone. This Lent, I want to ask the same question each week. Where is God? In this reading, in this story, where does God show up? So today we're asking where God is in the wilderness. So in the story of this temptation of Jesus, let's go on a God hunt. And we come to one right away, Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave because Jesus is in the wilderness or undergoing temptation. The Spirit is right there within Jesus, leading him through it. He's never alone. St. John of the Cross was a 16th century Spanish monk and mystic, and he wrote about the wilderness experience, which he called the dark night of the soul. It's a time of spiritual crisis in which we die in a sense to ourselves and find a deeper relationship with God. And the only light in this dark night is the flame that burns within our souls, leading us onward. Like Jesus, hungry and tempted and alone, yet filled with that flame of the Holy Spirit. So God is there, in a sense, as the Trinity, in the Spirit that fills Jesus and in God enveloping them all. The second place God is in the story of the temptation is in where God has already been. Jesus was a Jew. He would have been formed in the story of the Exodus when God led Jesus' ancestors under Moses through the Red Sea to freedom. And Jesus would have had that story planted deep inside him from childhood, along with the promise that the wilderness is not the end, but the spring cleaning of the soul to make room for a deeper relationship with God. Jesus would have seen himself reliving that story with the same promises from God, and the same conviction that even in the wilderness, God is at work. In the first reading today from Deuteronomy, we read about what God's people were to do at the end of their exile when they'd wandered through the desert and come out the other side into the land God had promised them. They're given a brief ceremony. They're to take the first fruits of their new land and bring it to the temple and say before God, "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down to Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a mighty nation, or a great nation, mighty and populous." And there, the people were treated harshly and afflicted, and they cried out to God, and God rescued them and brought them to this good land. And it says at the end, "You shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and your house." It's a ceremony of remembering what God has already done. We don't worship God because of some pie in the sky we hope to receive someday, but because God has already done something. How God has already been faithful, and how we continue to trust God to be faithful. As an aside, if you would like to meditate on this further this week, try listing out where you've already seen God, where God has shown up in your life, what God has already brought you through, what God has done. I bet that list will be longer than you think. And then just say thank you. And third and final on our God hunt, God is in the scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. Jesus answers each of the devil's temptations with a truth from the Bible, where again he has learned how God has already been faithful, and how God is with him now. These words that Jesus has taken in over the course of his life are there, waiting for the moment he needs them. I've heard many, many stories of people who are far into a state of dementia, where they don't seem to be aware of anything and have long been out of touch with the people around them. Yet when someone comes to visit them and pray with them, they'll join in the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm. It's stuck deep inside them. I haven't done this as much as I should, but I remember once when I was going through a scary time, I memorized Colossians 2:3, which says something like, "In Christ himself are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In other words, God alone knows what's going on and what will happen. And every time I had an anxious thought, I would answer it with that verse as an intentional act of faith. And you know what? Eventually those anxious thoughts got really quiet. Scripture is powerful. It's the living word of God. It will always be there for us. When Jesus needed words and truths, that's where he turned. As we enter this wilderness season on this first Sunday in Lent, we can be confident that God is with us too, in the fire of the Spirit burning within us from our own baptisms, in the ways that we know that God has always been with us and with God's people, and in the words that God has gifted us in the Bible. And also I'd add to that in the prayers we pray that our ancestors in faith have passed on to us. May those words sink deep into our hearts so that they can grow faith and hope and courage in us too.